Welcome to the White Hot Magazine Art World Podcast. I'm your host, Noah Becker. I'm actually hosting today. There's been a lot of controversy surrounding Tom Sack's studio over the last number of weeks. Quotes from me have appeared in the New York Times, and I was interviewed for CBC Radio, as it happens, about the advertisement that came out that people thought was Tom Sack's, but we didn't know if it was Tom Sack's. And then things in the press took a little bit of more of a sinister turn. And there have been various allegations from former employees. Well, I wanted to just kind of clear the air, at least with one of his former employees. Sivan Amar joins me today to talk about her experience working at the studio. I don't have any specific opinion myself. I just wanted to ask her some questions about her experience at Tom Sack Studio. I hope you enjoy the episode here on the White Hot Magazine Art World Podcast. I'm your host, Noah Becker. Welcome to the White Hot Magazine Art World Podcast. Today I have Sivan Amar, a former employee of Tom Sack Studio. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I guess you've been reading various articles in the New York Times and different places, things that have come out about the working conditions at Tom Sack Studio.
I first saw the sort of post about, or sort of joke account posts about the anonymous job posting regarding, you know, an assistant for an Art World artist and wife, and the sort of silly demands that went along with it. I never actually saw the actual job post, but when everyone was like, they think it's Tom Sacks, and when I was like, yeah, that probably makes sense. So
I saw that post, and I posted about it on Facebook.
Okay.
And then I ended up getting interviewed by the New York Times about my Facebook status.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I was on national CBC radio, but the whole time I wasn't aware of who it was.
Gotcha. Wow. Okay. And I mean, has it been confirmed, like, officially? Like,
I'm not sure that part of it has actually been officially confirmed, although I did read some ArtNet article that was pointing to him and his wife.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think because there's so much speculation around it, I mean, again, even if it wasn't him who posted it, it's definitely something you could see him doing.
So why I wanted to talk to you is because I know that you were working at that. When were you working at the studio?
So I was there 2008 to 2009.
And can you tell me what your job was?
Sure. So I was hired as a registrar, which, for those of you who don't know, a registrar is basically a collections manager, a logistics manager, everything on the sort of back end side of the curatorial side, for instance. So for instance, curators or directors academically assemble a show, and it's up to the registrars to bring the artwork together into the space. So we arrange all of the transportation, all of the condition reporting, all of the insurance, all of the loan contracts or sales contracts, if it's a commercial venture, and we, you know, ensure that installation is handled correctly. And then if there are sales or deinstallation of an exhibition, that those then go on their merry way or get back into their proper storage facilities. So That's basically what we as
And
registrars do.
how did you find the job? Did you answer a prominent Art World Couple
Yeah, it was
advertisement?
actually back then the number one place for art jobs in New York City for postings was Craigslist. So,
Did it say prominent Art World Couple?
I don't believe it said Tom Sachs Studio is looking for. It probably said, artist, active artist collection seeking registrar.
Did you know who he was when
I
you
did not
applied?
know who Tom was. In college and graduate school, I studied medieval art history. I never really particularly liked contemporary art, but considering I didn't want to become a professor or become a curator or anything like that, realistically, my academic pursuits and my professional pursuits were always kind of separate. So being in New York City, there's a plethora of art galleries, around Chelsea, obviously, now Lower East Side, and Brooklyn. So I was just working wherever I could get a job, really. This opportunity presented itself. It was a very sort of scrappy studio, and had a real street vibe to it. And so I definitely connected with that. I think Tom, if I remember correctly, he was like, "Do you even know who I am?" And I was like, "No." And I don't know if he was like intrigued by that and like thought he could mold me, especially because I was also, I think he really liked it because I was also Jewish. My father's Israeli, so he was like, "Were you in the army?" And I was like, "No, I wasn't in the army," but he was fascinated by that side of me and that sort of connection that we had there. There were great times working there because I was maybe, I think I was, well, let's see, in 2008, I was 24, 24 to 25 working there. And when you work in a place that has like zero corporate rules, so to speak, where it's like people are smoking weed and, there's a lot of not suitable for work material in his artwork, and so those conversations abound, and it becomes very tight-knit and everything. So I had a great time there, but on the flip side, I was supposed to be or made to feel that I was available 24/7. He got me a BlackBerry Pearl, if you remember those back in the day with the BBM. And he would text me or call me, at 2 in the morning saying, "Remember this for tomorrow," or whatever it is. And I guess, this was all before Time's Up or hashtag Me Too or anything like that. And the sort of mentality of the art world, which I think is still prevalent, is like dog eat dog world. You have to do this, you have to pay your dues, like this is normal. But at what point do you feel uncomfortable and say for yourself, "I can't do this anymore"? So
I guess what I'm trying to get at is there's been a lot of stuff in the press that was kind of like suggesting that him and his that Sachs and his wife had taken out this advertisement looking for someone to basically be on call 24 hours a day for all kinds of different jobs for one per different duties for one person. And that was a series of articles that came out. But then when it started talking about him referring to his rape room or whatever the other aspects of things that former employees had been talking about, it got more sinister. What I was curious about from you is, did you have any experience like anything more sinister happening around you when you were in the
Yeah, I mean, he definitely would display sense of derision towards certain gallery, not gallery, studio workers that, you know, he didn't like. He would make sexually explicit suggestions, and he definitely had a temper as well, and made everybody feel like you had have to tiptoe around him in his studio, which was like his temple, his safe space. But you know, if you're living and working in your studio space and you have employees there, like what are we supposed to do? So there was definitely times when you were made to feel uncomfortable. And then I always, you know, what always stuck with me was that he called his office the Eagle's Nest, which is apparently what Hitler called his, you know, last stand bunker, or whatever. Maybe it wasn't his last stand bunker, but he called something Eagle's Nest. And I was like, why are we referencing, you know, Hitler anything here? And then you sort of understood that it was this sort of like admiration, so to speak, of or fetishizing of this fascistic aspect that I think Tom really likes, and really wanted to be part of his studio practice and his art. Not and like he's loves Darth Vader too, you know. It's like, yeah, Vader's an interesting character. Do I want to be him? No. But Tom what was trying to be that like feared leader. And the more people feared him, he would say, good, you know, straight up good. I want them to be nervous about this, or I want them to feel a certain way around me or about what I'm working on.
So do you feel like it was a lot of emotional abuse?
Oh yeah. Yes, very much so. I mean, again, you're working for an artist, you're surrounded by artists. I'm not an artist. Like I said, I've an art studied art history. But the other people who worked in the office with me were also artists. I mean, this is not uncommon, where people have, you know, that pursuit separate from their, you know, bread and butter jobs. And so we're all emotional people too. So, you know, so it's kind of just like, let's put everybody, you know, with emotional issues or whatever in one room and see what happens and, you know, see how it goes. So definitely
Based on your
emotional.
experience, though, do you feel like he should just be completely trashed in the media and have Nike remove their sponsorship or their partnership or?
I think that's a really hard question because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's artistic freedom and things like that. What I think he can do to maybe redeem himself is say that he's revising his studio practice and letting his employees know, you know, this is a choice that you have. You know, this is not something like if you sign up for this. This is what it's going to be like working here, you know. Because listen, I learned a lot working there. I learned a lot about myself, my career, the business. But again, there was not something presented to us saying that, you know, this is a type of program that we're running here, and if you subscribe to this, like sign the dotted line. Kind of thing where it was like you're going in thinking it's just a job, for instance. Is he known for like his 10 bullets and knolling and all of that stuff? Yes, but where is it presented to employees that like you can, you know, file a complaint or, you know, say that this is something I don't agree with. And maybe if he works on something like that, where it seems that there's more of a collaboration on it. Maybe that, but that's how I feel. I think everybody can sort of redeem themselves if they are, allow themselves to be held accountable. So, come forth. And I think what would be really cool of Tom is like, yeah, I do that, or I did that. That's how I run my, that's my art. Everybody's loved it, or it's good in this sense or that sense, and take responsibility for how he's treated employees in the past.
And give them some sort of warning of what kind of environment they're agreeing to participate in.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, more than just like, oh, do you know who I am? Like, what does that mean? that was really all of the preparation I was given, and then I was hired, and then that's my job, and you gradually, will see more and more or learn more and more about it, as opposed to like, here is upfront what this will look like, you working here. We will do jogs together on this date and time, and you must be there, or you must wear a certain uniform or whatever. And hey, some people might be into that. Great, good for you. But like, let's have that discussion up front, as opposed to like finding all that stuff out later on. And then you're like, well, now I have to go look for another job, or now I never signed up for this kind of thing. And if I, but if I don't do it, what's gonna happen to me here? Kind of thing.
Well, I mean, allegations of things like rape rooms and hidden cameras and different things like that were abounding. And I feel like when it starts to go into that territory that needs to be looked at more carefully, it becomes less of a joke and more of a serious issue.
Exactly.
I'm not sure if you saw any kind of signs of any kind of behavior like that, or if it was just mainly emotional abuse.
I, you know, t again, I can't remember a rape room, but I definitely remember Eagle's Nest, because we would have an intercom system, and each section or room was named something else. And again, I don't disbelieve that he would have had something like that. There was definitely also CCTV, so you could see, oh, is Tom in yet? Is Tom in the studio? So can I go in and get something that I need? And then the reverse of that was he was able to look and see what everybody was doing. A lot of, he would say, oh, that's security, or there's so many defenses of, that type of usage. But it was still like, oh, Big Brother's watching me. And he liked that aspect. He liked being thought of as Big Brother, and as this, again, this fascistic overlord that could make or break you. That just constantly permeated everywhere. That towards the end of my short time being there, I was only there a year, but that was what sort of drove me to the end.
Were you
Yeah.
fired, or did you leave on
No,
your own
I
terms?
definitely quit. I left. I was that was sort of towards the end of this really hectic year, which I even think is why he hired a registrar, was because he had like three international exhibitions opening simultaneously. He had the huge Hello Kitty at the Lever House, that installation at that time, and it was a really busy period for the studio. And so when we came to the end of that year, and he laid off, about half of the studio, I just felt like, oh my, I don't do well with like sort of that insecurity, and I was like, let me leave and go find my next thing that's more permanent before I'm told, I don't have anything to fall back on. He was very upset, That I would leave him, when I it was like, well, what about me? I have to do what's best for me, you are an employee, you're not my family, you're not my we essentially have a professional relationship, like as messed up or as whatever you might interpret it as. But yeah, he was very upset that I left, like blocked me my calls, like when I tried to get in touch with the studio for like I need the Cobra information, stuff like that, or like whenever you leave a job, like just what the administrative details
So
are.
there's no NDA that's signed or anything like
For
that.
me, I didn't have an NDA. No. Maybe, after when he got like bigger and bigger, because I don't I he was just starting out at that point with like Nike stuff. He really like blew up, like huge blew ups, I want to say like slightly right after. And that's when the studio was like everybody in uniforms and we all go jogging together and like stuff like that. So I wasn't part of that, thank God. But yeah, I didn't have an
So
NDA.
do you wish him well, or would you rather that certain things happen before he continue running his operation?
Mean, I think I would like to think I wish everyone well.
Right.
I bear no one ill will, necessarily. But like I said, I think, let these allegations come forward. Let there be an investigation. Let there be a reckoning, so that, everybody can heal and move on. And that hopefully the art world can heal and move on, because I've pushed myself out of the art world because Tom, in my eyes, was maybe even one of the more tame, and I want to say quote unquote lovable type of people, or charming, people who, when he felt like you were there for him, he would do anything for you. Whereas I had worked for other curators and gallery owners who I don't have, goodwill towards, because they were such toxic people. And I guess the thing with Tom is like, there's redemption there. There's definitely an ability for him to, like I said, have that reckoning and try to fix what's going on. Whereas there's a lot of other people who are like, they should never be around people again.
So, do you
So,
feel like you left the art world because of all of these
oh,
experiences back to back?
1,000%. Like, I had been fired 5 or 6 times. I never lasted at a job more than a year. And it was just constant change, constantly not knowing, you'd get in trouble for blinking wrong at somebody,
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
And unfortunately, my story is not unique. It's incredibly common in the art world, and we all just are kind of like, yeah, what can you do about it? On to the next thing. And for the little pay that there is, the lack of support or anything like that in the system, the reason why you're my third interview on like the abuses within the art world. I worked with a curator in England, at Tate Liverpool, where I was a registrar and production manager there. And he since relocated to Dallas. And I was interviewed about him and his sort of sexual misconduct as well. And then this is my second interview about Tom Sachs since all of this came out. And the reason why I'm doing this is because though I'm not in the art world anymore, I don't think anybody should be subjected to this kind of systemic and oppression, systemic oppression,
What
seriously,
was the
within
was it the New York
this.
Times you spoke to before me?
I spoke to New York.
Oh,
It
New
was,
York Magazine.
yeah, New York Magazine. They did not use my interview material. Again,
Why not?
I think it's because I was there quite a while ago, and I don't think I provided anything that was different or unique from what everybody else they had been interviewing had said. And so I think just for, editorial purposes, I even in the article, I wouldn't see where, my material could have been used. I'm not upset about that at all,
That's okay.
yeah, it was they're really great journalists who contacted me, and it was a great article too. But again, I don't think that what I experienced was unique, both at Tom's studio and both within the art world. And so I'm kind of spreading the word as much as I can to be like, there needs to be something that changes within that industry that means that it's not dog eat dog anymore. It's not fighting over scraps of a paycheck, and that it's not allowing these highly privileged people, usually white, coming from very upper class backgrounds that enable themselves to support an art or gallery career, coming in and just treating everybody like garbage and like that they can be replaced in a second because there's always somebody younger and hungrier than you.
Well, the question I had been asked by different journalists was, how do you think working in that studio environment in the art world differs from any other environment in any other kind of job?
It's a great question. And I think in any other place, it's a company or maybe an idea of a place as opposed to one person being their name on the door or their specific vision, and if you are not aligned with that, get the hell out of here, so for instance, right now I'm working as I mentioned, as a project manager for a branding and marketing firm, and there's zero egos there, even within the creative department. And that is something I've never experienced before, where we all come together as a team, we all, want to make the project succeed, and that's because we feel valued within the company. They listen to our feedback, they pay us well, they don't expect us to be at their beck and call, 24/7. And I think that is just not what it's like working in the art world at all. Like I said, it's their name on the door, and so the impression is it's my way or the highway. And so you live in fear of wanting to express yourself or just say, hey, can we try it a different way? Or how about this? You just never know when it's something will could be taken as, oh, okay, yeah, let's try that. Or who do you think you are? And then they take it, that idea, take it themselves. Or frankly, having something thrown at you because that's happened too. Or your head chewed off in front of everybody plus the public because that has happened before as well.
So the art world dictatorships are what you're talking about.
Dictatorships. Exactly. And again, goes back to my comment about fascism. there's some type of personality, I guess, that's driven to that. And I think, the cult of the artist as it's the phenomenon has been labeled over the years, really translates to other factors like star curators or diva gallery owners or even devo gallery owners. So yeah, it's not easy, but I do not think it needs to be that way. I really believe that there can be a change for good because the art's good. I think it's really important part of our culture, of our everything, and especially what's going on in the world today. It's like, let's not make life harder for people.
Well, hopefully, some of the things you've shared with us and our conversation today will help make some changes in the system, in the bigger picture.
That's the hope, Noah.
And great to meet you. And
Yeah.
thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us about this
Course.
issue.
Yes, thank you so much for reaching out. It
Okay.
was a real pleasure speaking with
All
you.
right. I'll talk to you shortly.
Okay, bye.
Thanks.